Riding Home with Steve Jackson on The Drive. News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
534, your Monday drive. Joining us in the studio, longtime local attorney, both civil and criminal, Michael Fumara. Michael, welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
It's great to see you. And what has it been, 22 years in Sonoma County?
Yeah, 1992 we opened our offices.
All right. And it's quite a bio. 22 years, you've been not only a lawyer, but a community volunteer, political activist. Graduated from Rutgers. You are a Jersey boy.
Well, I was born in Brooklyn, but we moved to Jersey to a rural neighborhood.
Phi Beta Kappa, Henry Rutgers Scholar, master's degree in city planning from University of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. Worked in New York City with Mayor Ed Koch. That had to be wild.
Right. If you can work with him and survive that, you can survive anything.
He was a character in many ways.
He said it as it was, and that's how I operate. I say it as it is, and most people appreciate that candor.
Well, just make sure you say it as it is today. We're going to talk about some of the cases that Michael's been involved with over the years locally. You've just recently been inducted into the national top 100 trial lawyers for several high jury verdicts and settlements here in Sonoma County. And as I mentioned, both civil and criminal defense. And we'll get into some of the cases in a moment. Let's go to the phone because Marcia Vastupre, former Santa Rosa City Councilwoman and dear friend of this show, is on the line. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Steve. How are you? And how are you, Michael?
I'm fine, Marcia. Thanks for calling. We've known each other a long time from the Santa Rosa Junior High School.
Yes, we have. And you probably know this, Michael, but both you and Steve habla español.
Sí, claro que sí. Es más importante el mundo.
Oui.
Sí?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Well, what's going on?
Well, I'm interested in talking with both of you and trying to respond to your questions. And as you already indicated with Michael, you know that we both are going to give you our honest opinions.
All right. Can you hold on the line?
Sure.
All right. Diana's in Santa Rosa with a question about AB 109 in Sacramento. Hello, Diane. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. And I'm actually here in Santa Rosa, not in Sacramento.
No, I mean the bills from Sacramento.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yes, Michael, just from a criminal defense attorney's perspective, how do you see the pros and cons of how AB 109 played out in Sonoma County?
Well, it depends on which jurisdiction has done what with the money.
Explain what AB 109 is.
Okay, AB 109 was an attempt by the governor to really create some reforms without spending a whole bunch of money and reassign money from the federal prison system and the state prison system to the state, the county. In other words, state parolees would be relegated and transferred to our county, and we would be given a great deal more money, resources, and there'd be an emphasis upon rehabilitation and jail alternatives versus building so many new prisons that we have spent more money on prisons and jails rather than schools and colleges. So it has pros and cons, but in a nutshell, it's an attempt to reform the criminal justice system, and it's been a rather big success in my view, but there's some fallbacks and some deficiencies.
Where does it stand right now?
It's been in operation for, I think it's going on its second year. And I know Sonoma County's received quite a bit of new money for probation officers, for rehabilitation alternatives, and also for jail alternatives. And that's something we want as taxpayers. And that's what our firm does. We look at jail alternatives in the best way possible, keep our neighborhood safe, but at the same time, not spend taxpayer money wastefully.
All right. Michael Fumara is with us, longtime Sonoma County attorney, both civil and criminal. You have a lot of attorneys you work with, and one included in that list is an old friend of mine, Mr. Passalacqua, former DA.
Yes.
He's a good man.
Stefan is a good guy, and I've known Stefan Passalacqua for many, many years when he was a prosecutor before he became a two-term district attorney, and we're actually working on some joint cases right now. He's actually emphasizing wine law, government relations, and civil litigation, and we're working jointly on several projects and collaboration. That's what the state bar encourages attorneys to do, is work together and also get the best result for clients.
I mentioned earlier in your resume, you're a political activist, have been, and that encompasses a lot of your criminal defense practices or cases, because it's pretty varied.
That's true. I've taken cases that may seem a bit far-fetched, like the case with the blue-haired kid who was summarily expelled from a school district here in Sonoma County. It was the Piner High School district. He was expelled right on the spot for having blue hair. And the mother said all she was trying to do is make him a little bit outgoing, and look, he's being punished. Well, we took care of that school district, and we got what we needed to get, and it was stopped dead in its tracks.
Just because he came to school with blue hair?
I'm not kidding. That's the case.
How long ago was this?
This was about 7-8 years ago, and girls were able to color their hair.
Yeah.
And I said, why doesn't this apply to boys? What's the discrimination?
Well, it is discrimination.
That's what I'm saying. It is clear and simple.
What is the scissor case? It's you can see it on YouTube. There's a YouTube video from the early 90s, I guess.
That's true. What that entailed was a boy. I was working for the school district in Santa Rosa, and a family came to me, and they explained that their migrant son, who's picking crops during the daytime and going to school during the daytime, and a good kid who just had a habit of only speaking in Spanish. The teacher got very, very upset, a teacher ready to retire from the school district, and took a scissor in his hand and told the boy to shut, I can't say on the air, the heck up. And the boy got scared, didn't return to school, and we had to take the district to court because, honestly, they didn't want to settle for anything. They wanted to bury it under the rug. In fact, we've closed the school board of education down a few times because they refused to hear it. It was pretty amazing, but we got a good result at the end.
Just for speaking Spanish in class, the teacher held the scissors.
Well, the teacher was very angry because he kept repeating himself and told the boy to shut up and be quiet, and the boy didn't. He didn't understand the directions. He really didn't understand too many words in English, and so with that, he didn't stop talking, and so the anger came out based upon a little bit of burnout or whatever it was. I think the teacher should have gotten the help that he needed at the time. They did move him to an administrative position, and they did end up paying for the boy's, I would call it rehab, I wouldn't say rehab, but for counseling for about 10 or 15 sessions, and they paid out a settlement. That's how it went. I didn't want it to be that way. I just wanted an apology. And that's what the family wanted, was an apology and some counseling.
Did the teacher speak any Spanish?
No. That was a problem then.
Yeah, I would say so.
Early 90s, different world.
I love this. It seems I'm a big Sherlock Holmes fan, and I love some of these cases in the fact that it reminds me of some of the names of Sherlock Holmes stories, like Sherlock Holmes and the scissor case, the case of the blue-haired boy. A recent case of a disabled student who was slapped by a special ed teacher. That was at Santa Rosa High?
Yes, that's a recent case that was brought to my attention by somebody who really cares about the school district and how it's perceived. And what I tried to do is work it out very amicably with the school board. I went before the school board, and all they could tell me is, your resume and your website says that you do this and you do that. They were more interested in me and me not saying anything than helping the kid. Finally, I brought in Mandy Lee, another, I'll tell you, a bulldozer and a steamroller herself. She doesn't take anything. We worked together collaboratively, and we got the district to come up with a sizable amount of money to send him into a private school, which is going to do what was supposed to have been done for him in the first place. And I didn't want it that way. I wanted to really save the taxpayers money, and I wanted to work with the school district, and they had no inclination to do so. But bad publicity really made them do what needs to be done.
Attorney, local attorney for 22 years, Michael Fiumara is with us on The Drive. You have a special passion for education law, and in a lot of these cases, it has to do with education law. How did you get there?
I'm one of 11 kids. I realized that education was the most important thing that you can have in your on your side, because nobody can take an education away from you. They can try to take your house, your car, but they can't take what's in your mind. And knowledge is power. That's one of our slogans at our law firm. And we try to instill that, especially Latino kids who come into our office and there are no books in the home. We work with families to enable their kids to go to college, whether it's the Hispanic Scholarship, which I was on their committee chairperson from the very beginning. I think we all have to work together to get kids educated so that they can run the country while we're retired.
Also, in your criminal practice, you have an emphasis upon effective alternatives to jail, which always interested me and it does interest me. What are some of the alternatives and how does that work in a criminal case?
Well, there's alternatives that were set up by the realignment program, which is AB 109. One is called, and it used to be called, secured electronic confinement, home confinement. That program works with the ability to work, to pay the mortgage, to take care of the kids, but you're not doing actual jail time. You are actually at home under house arrest. That program works well. That program helps keep families together. Other alternatives would be working for the county, called a work release program. That works nicely. It helps us taxpayers getting some things done we can't afford to get done, but the punishment is meted, and people realize that they have to be punished for the things that they do.
There's another case that I'm looking at. It was a kid who had Tourette's.
Yes.
He was 9 years old, and what, the student or the teacher taped his mouth shut?
Again, this was a case from the 1990s. Maybe it was.
They used duct tape?
It was masking tape, she said. And although the teacher said it was a joke, the kids in the classroom did not think it was funny. And certainly the boy who had Tourette's syndrome did not think so. And her mother and his mother, a nurse from Kaiser, came to my office, and I'll never forget her, how upset she was and devastated that her son, who's having problems already with his own disability, was treated and how the case was handled by the school district. And the school district has been under fire for the number of expulsions and the great number of suspensions and not having restorative justice. But I have to say the school board has come full circle, and I really have an excellent superintendent, Socorro Shields, and I think that it's on the right track now. So all this is in the past, but boy, it was a heavy row to toe. It was brutal.
And Tourette's in a classroom.
That's
for
right.
A 9-year-old. How does that? Do they have? I would think they'd have special classes, or he would be part of a different. I mean, if he can't control, as we know, Tourette's syndrome generally is obscenities that are being spewed out that the person cannot stop.
Well, we have to step back and
control.
I realize what you're saying, but IEPs are often not done. That's an individualized education plan for kids who may have a disability or a learning difficulty. And sometimes it's not actually determined, or it's not found out until much later. This kid had been going to various doctors and unfortunately didn't have this done for him under 504 of the Federal Act or any of the disability acts. He fell between the cracks, and it was unfortunate, but with our law firm, we look to help people and identify these disabilities so they get the right school environment. And he obviously was not in the right school environment, and that was rectified later. We did work hard with the family, the school district, but it took a tragic incident like that to really spur them to do the right thing.
What happened to the teacher?
Because of personnel issues, they say, and because they can't tell us, and she was ready for retirement anyway, just like the last teacher with the scissor. They were really close to retirement, and they don't treat teachers real well. These administrators, I call them Nazis.
I understand that, yeah.
I won't even tell you what I'm going to call it. Well, I better not. Leave it like that.
Why is that?
Why? I can give you some reasons, but I don't think it would sound very nice and pleasing, but many of these administrators get into power and they brutalize the teachers and make it extraordinarily difficult for the teachers to do their job, and it gets
and
very
they're not
petty.
Making a whole lot of money to begin with.
Exactly, right? And sometimes they have to supply their own pencils and even toilet paper.
Jeez.
I know, it sounds bizarre, but we're not a third world country yet.
If you have a question or comment for Michael Fumara, 636-1350, of course, is the phone number. Gabriel, excuse me, Gabriel's in Healdsburg. Gabriel!
Yes, hi, good evening, how are you?
We're good, how are you?
Good, thank you. I just wanted to congratulate Mike on all the work he's done, especially with the Latino community in the Sonoma County area. I've noticed, and I just graduated law school, so I'm going into that field. You know, gonna try to test my luck in that. And you know, I've worked with Michael before as an intern, and he does really good work with the Latino community. I noticed that no one else in the, you know, in the legal field is really that, you know, committed to that, and specifically, you know, to every type of issue that affects the Latino community, including immigration. And I just noticed that in Sonoma County, there's very much a lacking of attorneys who I think really give their all in that sector. And that's why you see a lot of people become frustrated with their situations. And I just think that it's great that Michael, you know, definitely tries to, you know, cater to all of the demographics in the area and tries to help everyone uniformly. And I think, that's just been something that I've noticed through years working with him. And recently he's been able to help a relative of mine who was stopped due to a pretext stop. It was basically profiling. And Michael definitely has experience in that, and I think will get us the help that my relative needs. But yeah, definitely a great advocate for the Latino community, and I think that's something to be recognized.
And he's not Latino. He's Italian like me.
I'm Italian, Irish, German. Grandfather lived to 104, tough as nails. But there's some Orthodox Jews on our family tree. In fact, my grandfather was an Orthodox Jew, and so I'm a real combination. You got it. You got the. And I lived in Madrid, Spain. That's where I learned Spanish in 1977. So I guess I'm a mixture of everything. But I understand and know what discrimination is, because as a kid, the word WOP without papers means WOP, and that's a dirty word in my book. And my father wouldn't stand for it, and I don't stand for it, so I don't like for any of my Latino clients to suffer discrimination, so that's my passion too.
Beautiful. Let's take one last look at traffic here, and then we'll be back with Michael Fiumara, longtime local attorney. Again, 636-1350 is the phone number if you'd like to talk to him.
With your rush hour traffic update on the drive, here's Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
All right, you guys have a great rest of your night. South 101 at Hearn Avenue, an earlier crash there is gone, but it had backed up the traffic all the way to Hopper. That's starting to unravel, and now just heavy steel towards College, and then it kind of turns sluggish the rest of the way down to Corby, and then fine from there down to Hearn Avenue. Looks like northbounders, though, we're getting a look at the flashing lights and everything happening across the freeway, because it is jammed there and has backed up further out near Wilfred and Golf Course, pretty solid all the way out towards Baker. It's clearing out in the Narrows. North 101 looks pretty good there at Atherton. It will bog down just a little bit beyond the landfill towards the old San Antonio Road, and then one more sluggish stretch there near Petaluma South over the bridge and out past Washington. Stop in this week to Lucky and Bay Area Save Marts and stock up on your favorite fruit juice flavors. Right now, get select varieties of Hansen's 100% juices for only $1.99 each. Choose from vitamin C-filled flavors like grape or all-natural apple juice only at Lucky and Bay Area Save Marts. And that's your drive traffic. I'm Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
Changing Sonoma County's mind one listener at a time. It's the Laura Ingraham Show, weekdays 9 till noon on KSRO.
Win your share of $550,000 in trucks, cars, and cash at Graton Resort and Casino's Ticket to Ride giveaway. Win a Ford F-150 or Ford Fusion, or win up to $2,500 cash. Drawings at 9 p.m. every Saturday and Sunday. Two car winners and 28 cash winners every weekend. Guaranteed. Get one free entry every day and earn 5x entries every Wednesday. The Ticket to Ride giveaway, only at Graton Resort and Casino.
Hey, it's Melanie Morgan. You know, when my husband and I bought our home, we called Greg O'Donnell. When we refied, we called Greg. And when we refied again, we called Greg. So you kind of see the pattern here, right? Really, whenever we have a financial question or concern, we call Greg. And now is your opportunity to take advantage of the low fixed rates. Right now, our good friend and fellow radio show host, Greg O'Donnell, is offering their Family Plus loan with an interest-only rate of 3.875%. That's right, 3.875% for 30 years. So do yourself a favor. For call Greg at 866-496-2300 right now to get that loan. Remember, folks at O'Donnell Financial Group, they provide customized services designed to meet your family-specific needs, not that of the banks. So call Greg about that 3.875% fixed rate loan right now at 866-496-2300 or visit them online at O'Donnellfinancialgroup.com.
Licensed by Cal DRE 0119-8426, NMLS 298004, APR 3.919. Not all applicants will qualify. Rate subject to change. You must have an income as defined by the IRS.
You're listening to a Sonoma County original, The Drive with Steve Jackson on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Hello, 5:54 on your Monday drive. Longtime local attorney Michael Fiumara is here. You mentioned I was at your office a while back, and you mentioned a local case about an African American widow versus the city of Santa Rosa.
Oh, that's right. That case sticks in my mind, and it will for the rest of my life.
It did in mine as well.
Okay. Well, apparently her house. Well, I'll tell you, her house was condemned by the county. They red tagged it and said because she couldn't get water, or they wouldn't give her water. Her septic system completely failed, and so it failed because of the adobe soil, nothing she did, but she was right outside the limit of Santa Rosa, the city limits. However, the city council refused to give her water access. They said she was outside the sphere. I had to get LAFCO in. I had to testify before the city council.
Explain LAFCO, because people don't know.
This land association, it's an organization that basically looks at I don't know the acronym, what it stands for right now, but it stands for the premise that you need approval from this land agency to get permission to do certain land use decisions. It's sort of a complex animal that most people don't know, and the board's highly political, and it's convoluted, but we were able to get around it. We got her a connection, but after many it felt like years, but I think what it took was a political showdown at city council, and I got one of the council people, he was mayor at the time, stick his finger in my face and said, you know, you used a race card here. And I said, no, I use every card in the deck to get what I need for these clients, because it's unfair that this system is so convoluted and her house would be closed down when it's a perfectly good structure. And you've done it for other people, wealthy, established, connected people. You need to do it for her just because she's African American, and she happened to be disabled too. So she went up to the podium with her braces because she had polio, and her grandbabies were all in that audience and the cameras were on them. So whatever it takes to spotlight it, I'm going to do it because I need to.
How long ago was this?
This was
because I want to know which council and take my guess as to which one stuck his finger or her finger.
The videotape, the videotape's on my my website, which is www.fiumara.com. It's under the political section, and it's there. It's me testifying before city council with people that I'm amassed to speak on her behalf, including Mrs. G. So I'll leave it as Mrs. G. That's her last, the initial of her last name. And they can look at it themselves and make a judgment based on what I did.
I'm going to look at it tonight.
Thank you.
Fiumara.com, F-I-U-M-A-R-A. Listener didn't want to go on the air, but has a question about your thoughts on the Andy Lopez situation and how this is going to play out. Of course, Wednesday is the one-year anniversary of the shooting.
That is an outrage. I can't say anything else except to say that a grand jury should have been installed here in the county to let the citizens have major input into this decision. I was very disappointed that Jill Ravage, sitting district attorney who recently won her election, didn't take that avenue and open it up to the public, because I really think it was handled very, very poorly. And I think the expert that has a propensity of dealing or siding with police tactics and antics was the deciding factor. And I think that it's a sham, and I'm outraged by the result. And I hope that this civil lawsuit really opens up things, and I hope the park gets built. I'm just disappointed with the way it's been handled. And Una Bision should be ashamed of themselves, how they got that attorney from Southern California up here to take this case and have the client sign an agreement within 2 days. That was just an outrage. I know family members of the Lopez family, and what they told me is outrageous. The whole thing is, it's victims upon victims and scammers and schemers all together.
Would you get involved in the civil suit if you were asked?
If I'm called and asked, I would do whatever I can to move this to where it should be, pure and simple justice.
Wow. And we just talked to Supervisor Efren Carrillo, who wrote an op-ed, co-wrote an op-ed recently in the PD about the one-year anniversary and the whole situation. You believe that Jill Ravitch should have recused herself and looked elsewhere for a decision?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a non-issue. That should
Could
have
she
happened.
Have gone to Kamala Harris?
She should have gone to the Attorney General. I stated that in my own opinions. I know that another group of attorneys sent a letter to Kamala Harris and to who was then the Attorney General of the United States, Holden, who just retired. I know that there's a whole litany of people out there who really believe that she should have recused herself. I'm talking about Jill Ravitch. And the whole police system is policing itself. There should be other police agencies outside the area looking at these cases. It shouldn't be just Santa Rosa and the county going back and forth. That just is one hand washing the other, one back being patted by the other. We need to change this with civilian overview, and that has to happen. We need to be trusting of the system, not skeptical, because we're never going to have a rest unless we open up the process.
Very, very well said. Michael Fiumara, go to Fiumara.com, F-I-U-M-A-R-A. Thank you so much, man.
You're very welcome.
Great segment. Tomorrow, we continue with our candidate debates. Ashley Crocker, John Sawyer, and Curtis Byrd will be in. They're all running for Santa Rosa City Council. Have a great night.